Welcome to CBC Next. Pastor Jared and I are here once again, ready to talk about our Truly, Truly series. And I've got a question for you, Jared.
All right, what's that?
Are you born again?
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. I should have asked you that a long time ago before we hired you. But
Yeah.
Do you mind telling us a little bit about, you know, how you came to know Christ?
Sure thing. So I grew up in a smaller country church over in Rosedale, West Virginia. And I can remember when I was about 7 years old, I was sitting in the pew with my grandparents. And honestly, I can't tell you what the preacher preached on, but I can remember the feeling like my knuckles were like gripping the back of the pew. And I can remember thinking like, if I can just wait until he says like, amen, we're done for the day, like I can avoid the whole walking down the aisle in front of everybody. So we did, and I went down the aisle, and I met my pastor down there, and I told him. And he did the worst thing ever. He said, all right, let's go get everybody. And they brought everybody back in. So it was at that moment, I'd asked Jesus to come into my heart and was born again.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Mine was similar. I told everybody on Sunday I was saved at the age of 8. I rose my hand. I don't remember the, you know, the sermon either. Mm-hmm. I rose my hand at the end of the, you know, during the invitation. And the pastor came after the service and talked to me.
Gotcha.
And I remember going home and reading my Bible and all that kind of stuff. And I remember a really intense relief of knowing, you know, that I knew the Savior. I don't remember what sins in particular I had done at that point that I had felt, you know, I needed a Savior for. I knew I punched my brother a lot. I don't know if it was something to do with that. But also I remember, too, I had come like that night because the pastor had told me, hey, if you come tonight, we'll talk about baptism. And I came that night. And nobody talked to me, and I didn't get baptized for 10 years.
Oh, wow. Gotcha.
So there's a good, example of following up with people, you know.
Absolutely,
maybe.
Yeah.
But I'm in the end, I'm glad because I was able to really be sure that my faith was my own rather than putting trust in baptism to save me. Because, that's a memorable thing. You get up in front of people and you get wet and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And, but I know looking back that it was, you know, simply putting my faith and trust in Jesus, not, baptism, although that's important. We talk about that with people sometimes, and the way that I like to explain it is the way that it was explained to me a long time ago was that baptism doesn't save us. It is the public proclamation that we are saved. Similarly to that, putting a ring on my finger doesn't mean I'm married. It means it's a public proclamation that I am married, and the vows are what that commitment is what the relationship is built on. And so there's a little way to explain it if you've never heard it explained that way before. But we talked about Nicodemus on Sunday, and it's such a cool story because a lot of the religious elite really missed out on Jesus.
Yeah.
And Nicodemus didn't have all the answers. He was skeptical. Maybe a little embarrassed to come at night, and but he didn't miss out on it. And we're going to talk a little bit more about the rest of his story because we don't have a ton, but there is enough in Scripture that we'll talk a little bit more about Nicodemus this upcoming Sunday. But yeah, tell us what jumped out to you with this story.
So one thing I really like about Nicodemus is he kind of sets the picture of the best case scenario of a person. So, you know, he is educated, he's religious, he does everything to the best of his ability according to the law. And Jesus says, that's not enough. You know, so many times we strive to be the best me. But Jesus says, that's not it. Like, that's not getting me to heaven. I am. He says, I am the way, the truth, the life. And so when I looked at this, it just paints a good picture at we can strive so hard to be the best person, and good people don't get to heaven. It's those who find their life and find their faith through Jesus and being born again. And the fact that Jesus meets Nicodemus where he's at, but doesn't leave him there.
Right.
Yeah. He gives him so much to ponder on, so much to think on. Right. And like you said in scripture, we do see Nicodemus reappear in Jesus' life towards the end.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. I thought that was an important distinction too with, we're tempted, you know, it's so hard to know, like, and this is where the Holy Spirit comes in. Like, when I'm talking to somebody about faith, is now the time to listen? Is now the time to encourage? Is now the time to correct somebody's bad theology or they're trusting in something else? And we see here how Jesus walked that tightrope of, you know, listening and then and answering, taking the time to answer questions that, and you kind of get a little bit of that with Jesus, like, you should know this.
Yeah.
And, but then also still correcting that, that it's not anything within us, but rather simply putting our faith and trust in Jesus that saves us. Mm-hmm. And, but I do think that's important to say too, because we live in a world right now that, you know, there's two sides where there's the, you know, an angry side and there's a compassionate side. And on the angry side, we want to scream what we think is true. And on the compassionate side, we want to, you know, bulldoze the truth in order not to hurt people's feelings. Mm. And so I think it is important to make sure that we walk that line of love and truth. You know, the Bible talks about that, you know, that we worship God in spirit and in truth. Mm-hmm. And so when having these conversations out in, you know, our neighborhoods and in our schools and in our jobs, asking the Holy Spirit to let us know and to guide us when we're supposed to, you know, listen, when we're supposed to say, hey, I'm going to pray with you about that. And hey, I'd love to come back and talk to you about that. And when to correct and when to, you know, and when to sometimes maybe even, you know, be a little more, you know, stand up and like, hey, let me push back on that.
Yeah, yeah.
I went to Bible college a long time ago now, and really conservative and traditional Bible college. But, and I've told this before on different things, maybe Weird Faith or something like that. But they would have us go out for a couple hours every week to go knock on people's doors and all that kind of stuff. But the goal, and you would get demerits like or get like punished in some way if you didn't get the gospel out like three times in the course of a week or something like that, which really isn't the right way to do it. You know, like, you know, you stop somebody and you don't let them talk at all. And you get all the way through the plan of salvation and that person is not ready. They're not listening or they're already saved. It doesn't matter. You're just trying to get it all the way to the end.
Yeah.
So I don't want to be like that. You know, I want to be somebody that's ready and waiting to listen to the Holy Spirit about when is the right time. And a lot of times nowadays, we really need to earn our, ability to speak into somebody's life.
Yeah.
There's a lot of skepticism about churches, about church leaders. It's a constant thing of, you know, and I'm sure you pay attention to this too, some Jared, of just church leaders failing and falling. And so we got to, before I even meet anybody, they have some assumptions about either I'm about money or, you know, I've got some type of scandal in my life. Or, you know, and a lot of times I just have to convince them I'm a okay dude before I can really even talk to them about Jesus. And you know, sometimes there are different times where people are just ready and waiting to talk about those things. But anyway, it's a little bit different. And so we've got to be listening to the Holy Spirit in those things. And
yeah.
What else? Or what do you think?
So what you just said really brought up this past weekend at YLC. Mm-hmm. We were teaching, and the verse in John chapter 1 that says that Jesus led with grace and truth. Mm-hmm. And it's like, that's not a coincidence that they put grace first and then truth.
Right.
It's like,
mm-hmm.
that means so much to me because it's a model for how we should live, like leading with grace and then truth. Mm-hmm. Not saying that truth isn't important, but we have to earn that relationship with people.
Right.
We have to earn their trust. And then speak that into their lives.
It's also interesting to see who Jesus was the most gracious with. It was the people that we would say are the furthest away from God. Mm-hmm. You know, somebody that, you know, you see like a woman who was a harlot or, you know, yeah, different things like that. And those are the people we'd be like, all right, you know, maybe mm-hmm. I'll keep my distance. And those are the ones that Jesus was the most gracious with, and yeah, the ones that he was the most rebuke, you know, filled or whatever mm-hmm. you want to say about, was those religious people that should yeah. know better. And so that's something that we should be sensitive to as well. When we're writing our Facebook posts about how the world is going to hell, and you know, really we ought to ask ourselves, you know, what is the church doing, and, exactly, and what are we doing, and looking at those beams in our eyes mm-hmm. Rather than the speck in the eye of somebody that might not yet be a believer, might yet not yet be a yeah. follower of Jesus. And so, yeah, you see that too there with, so Nicodemus would have fallen into that category of the one that should know better. And you see that in how Jesus talks to him. But he also, Jesus knew that he was sincere and that yeah. he was really wanted to know the answer. Many times you see Jesus talk to those, the Pharisees, the scribes, and the priest and all them. And you can tell that Jesus knows these people, even no matter what I do, they're not going to listen to me. No. And they're not going to ever put their faith in that I'm the Messiah and that I'm here to change things. And there are times where Jesus says, there's no reason for me to even really to explain this anymore to you. Yeah. You don't want to hear.
A lot of times they were there just to set traps for
yeah,
him.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. 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 And so anyway, I'm glad to hear that you're born again. And and hey, look, seriously, if you, maybe you've come for a long time. I've known people that have been part of the church for years and years and years and years, and they finally let go, and they it finally all clicked. And I, although that might feel embarrassing, it's not worth, you know, not coming to Christ over. And you could be a great example and a great testimony of, I was trusting in the wrong thing. I was trusting mm-hmm. in baptism, or I was trusting in church membership, or I was trusting in that my dad was a Sunday school teacher, or any of those types of things. Christ and Christ alone how we get to God. And so if you have any of those questions, Pastor Jared or I would love to follow through with that. And so reach out to us. And hey, let us know what you're thinking about this Truly, Truly series down in the comments. We can't wait to see you this upcoming Sunday.
All right.
All right. We'll see you then.